Chapter 29, The Sabbath.
It is a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord. The value of the Sabbath as a means of education is beyond estimate. Whatever ours God claims from us, he returns again, enriched, transfigured, with his own glory. The tithe that he claimed from Israel was devoted to preserving among men, in its glorious beauty, the pattern of his temple in the heavens, the token of his presence on the earth. So the portion of our time which he claims is given again to us, bearing his name and seal. It is a sign, he says, between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord. Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it, Exodus 31:13 and 20:11. The Sabbath is a sign of creative and redeeming power. It points to God as the source of life and knowledge. It recalls man's primeval glory, and thus witnesses to God's purpose to recreate us in his own image. The Sabbath and the family were alike instituted in Eden. In God's purpose they are indissolubly linked together. On this day, more than on any other, it is possible for us to live the life of Eden. It was God's plan for the members of the family to be associated in work and study, in worship and recreation. The father as priest of his household, and both father and mother as teachers and companions of their children. But the results of sin, having changed the conditions of life to a great degree, prevent this association. Often the father hardly sees the faces of his children throughout the week. He is almost wholly deprived of opportunity for companionship or instruction. But God's love has set a limit to the demands of toil. Over the Sabbath he places his merciful hand. In his own day he preserves for the family opportunity for communion with him, with nature, and with one another. Since the Sabbath is a memorial of creative power, it is the day above all others when we should acquaint ourselves with God through his works. In the minds of the children, the very thought of the Sabbath should be bound up with the beauty of natural things. Happy is the family who can go to the place of worship on the Sabbath, as Jesus and his disciples went to the synagogue, across the fields, along the shores of the lake, or through the groves. Happy the father and mother who can teach their children God's written word with illustrations from the open pages of the book of nature, who can gather under the green trees in the fresh, pure air to study the word and to sing the praise of the Father above. By such associations, parents may bind their children to their hearts, and thus to God, by ties that can never be broken. As a means of intellectual training, the opportunities of the Sabbath are invaluable. Let the Sabbath school lesson be learned not by a hasty glance at the lesson scripture on Sabbath morning, but by careful study for the next week on Sabbath afternoon, with daily review or illustration during the week. And thus the lesson will become fixed in the memory, a treasure never to be wholly lost. In listening to the sermon, let parents and children note the text and the scriptures quoted, and as much as possible of the line of thought to repeat to one another at home. This will go far toward relieving the weariness with which children so often listen to a sermon, and it will cultivate in all a habit of attention and of connected thought. Meditation on the themes thus suggested will open to the student treasures of which he has never dreamed. He will prove in his own life the reality of the experience described in the scripture, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Jeremiah 15:16. "I will meditate in thy statutes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Psalms 119:48 and 19, verses 10 and 11.